So Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. But I have a few things against you, because you have there some who hold the teachings of Balaam. I'm sorry, that's chapter 2. How about chapter 3? And the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this: I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments, that you may clothe yourselves, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed in the eye salve, to anoint your eyes that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Therefore, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and will dine with him, and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The church at Laodicea is the last church of the seven that Jesus addresses in the book of Revelation. It appears in contrast to the church at Philadelphia, regarding whom Jesus had no criticism. Nothing positive was said regarding this church here. We can learn much from correction that she received here. Let's talk about the city of Laodicea for just a minute. They were founded by Antiochus II in 261 to about 246 BC. The city of Laodicea is located about 11 miles west of Colossae and about 40 miles east of Ephesus. The city was built along the river Lycus and was a primary trade route from Ephesus eastward. Laodicea's principal industries were banking, black wool, and eye salve. The city sported a great reputation in these industries. The banking industry here made the occupants so wealthy that they refused aid from Rome in 70 AD when an earthquake destroyed their town. As a medical center, the eye salve that was manufactured was sent throughout the known world in tablet form, and the black wool supplied material to make warm winter coats all around the region. Jewish people were numbered among the Gentiles. And in fact, so much gold was sent to the temple in Jerusalem from Laodicea that a limit had to be placed on the Jewish businessmen lest they cause a local depression. Nearby, the town was a warm spring that became a sort of a health spa for the people of the day. The city was a resort for the wealthy upper class. But what about the church in Laodicea? We don't know when the church began, but it was in existence at the same time of the writing of the book of Colossians, about 60 or 61 AD. Because Paul wrote in the book of Colossians about the Laodiceans. He had them in mind. He refers to that church in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 1. He speaks concerning his desire for them to be rich in Christ. Notice the terms that they use, being a very wealthy city. He wants them to be rich, but in Christ. And in Colossians 4:13, Epaphras evidently was a strong worker in the church there. He was referenced by Paul. In Colossians 4 and verse 15, it believes that Paul has indicated that the church there at Laodicea has been meeting initially in the house of Nymphas. Colossians 4 and 16, the epistle to the Colossians was to be read to the Laodiceans as well. Paul gave them instructions to do that. This indicates that they may have experienced some of the same problems that the church of Colossae did. Maybe that's why Paul said, send this letter to them, so he could address the same issues. Maybe that same doctrine of Gnosticism existed there. We don't know. The book of Revelation contains the only other New Testament message addressed to them. And the message that Jesus gave to the church was that they were spiritually complacent. They were a church that merely just got by. They were lukewarm temperature. The church there was like a tepid cup of coffee or a room temperature glass of milk. They needed heating up or cooling down before they could even be palatable. Or perhaps the image of drinking the nearby warm springs with its odious mineral water was that which Jesus was referring to when he said he would spew them out. Regardless, Jesus said he would spew them out of his mouth because of their lackadaisical attitude. What do we see there in Titus chapter 2 and verses 11 through 14? In Titus chapter 2, starting at verse 11, it says this. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself a people of his own possession, zealous for good deeds. God desired his people to be zealous, as he says and addresses in Titus chapter 2. Yes, Jesus' message was that they were spiritually complacent, but his other message was, you know, you're physically wealthy, but you're spiritually impoverished. It says there in the Revelation that we read that they say, the Laodiceans say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Wouldn't it be nice to say that? But what about saying that at the cost of your soul? Their attitude was, since that they are rich, they must be saved. They thought that physical prosperity indicated spirituality. Jesus indicated otherwise. Regarding their true spiritual condition, he said, you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, you are naked. Their physical prosperity had no bearing upon their spiritual welfare. God desires his people to be rich towards him. Let's turn our Bibles over to Luke. In Luke chapter 12. Starting in verse 15. And he said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. And he told them in a parable, saying, the land of a certain rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself and saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. What is it that misquoted today? How many people will tell you that? Let's eat, drink, and be merry. But then look at the very next verse. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And you now, who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. God desires his people to be rich towards him. Jesus had an answer to their spiritual poverty. He counseled them to take action regarding their spiritual neglect. They needed to buy from Jesus. He says, buy from me. Buy from me gold, which the banking industry had very much of, refined by fire. They needed spiritual riches, not physical treasures laid up in heaven. Let's look at what he really meant at this. Let's turn our books to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. It says, buy from me gold refined by fire. Then he says, buy from me white raiment. That's a very contrast to the black wool that they're very well known for in Laodicea. Buy from him white raiment to be clothed. Instead of, don't be clothed in black, be clothed in white. Look, let's look in Revelation in chapter 7 for just a moment. Let's see what he's really referring to here. Look at verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying to me, these who are clothed in the white robes, who are they? And from where have they come? And I said to him, my Lord, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Almost seems contradictory to wash into blood and it turns white. But we know what that means, don't we? We know what that means, right, Aiden? To be washed in the blood means to be baptized and to have contact with blood, and that will wash away our sins and we will have white raiment. To be refined means that we are going to let the Word of God transform us so that we are not a transactional Christian, that we're not here to get something just because we're putting something in, but we're letting the Word of God transform us as humans. That's what refining means when he says, buy from us the gold, and we put on the white robes. But what else does he say in this revelation that we read earlier today? He says, buy from me eye salve. Remember, they were known for the eye salve, right? They were known for eye salve. And the fact that they were able to send this across the region, and it's pharmaceutical of the way. It's probably another reason why they were so wealthy. Look at 2 Peter for me. 2 Peter and chapter 1. Let's look at verse 9. I'm sorry, let's look at verse 5. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence to your faith, supplying moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For these qualities are yours and are increasing. They render you neither useless nor unfruitful, in the knowledge, in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities are blind, short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Huh. We have to apply diligence, moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. And if we do not have these things, we're blind. And what does God say that he wanted them to buy from him? Not only gold, that we're going to be refined and transformed by the word of God, the gold, but we're going to put on white raiment. He says, buy from him white raiment. In other words, a white garment, so that their black garments would be turned to white, just as we're baptized into the watery grave of baptism, that we are coming up and our sins have been washed away and we are wearing a white garment. Then we are to keep our eyes open, not to be blind. He says, buy eye salve from him to cure their blindness. So they were to buy these things from him. But what does that really mean when he says, buy these things from me? They had all the money. He says, buy these things from me. Obviously, he wasn't going to physically sell them gold, physically sell them a white robes and eye salve. I mean, they had all of that, right? That's what they were known for. What he's saying is, spiritually, he calling them to repent. Spiritually, he loved them and he rebuked them and he chastened them. And he says he stands at the door knocking for them, longing for fellowship with them. And that if you overcome these things, if you overcome this pride, if you overcome that worship of money, and you overcome the worship of things, if you overcome that, you will sit with Jesus on his throne. That's what he says to the Laodiceans. We learn from the church of Laodicea that Jesus vehemently rejects spiritual complacency and he loves zealous Christians. Physical wealth is no indication of spiritual welfare. I keep folks who ask me, why do I want to work for this company, or why do I want to work for this company if they don't have very much to offer in the way of salaries? I said, money isn't everything. Who you work for is important. Who you work with is important. Being around moral people is important. Money isn't everything. Jesus is the answer to spiritual poverty. There's no physical substitution for spirituality in the life of a Christian. But we must repent. We must repent. We have so many things that we are trying here, and I believe that God will eventually increase the seed that we are trying to plant. We are few in soldiers, but we are trying. And we are trying hard to be able to provide and spiritually feed the people here. And we pray that we will not be a Laodicean church. Are you a Christian? If you are, then what is your spiritual situation? Are you lukewarm, overconfident, unrepentant? If you're not a Christian, what does it say in Romans 10:17? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You have to hear the word. What's it say in Hebrews 11:6? For without faith it is impossible for you, so you have to believe. In Acts 17 of verse 30, it says you have to repent of your sins. And Matthew 16:16 says you have to confess Jesus as the Son of God. And in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, you have to be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you haven't done this, if you have any needs, the lesson is yours. Let it be known. Come forward as we stand and sing this song of encouragement.